The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior. Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything, that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these moments. Their stories are full of candor and hard-won wisdom. And you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 169, episode 2 of The Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Tuesday, January 26, 2021. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. You are my Zeit Gang, my only Zeit Gang. That's why I sing you this, a.k.a. I'm Jack O'Brien, and Miles is here too, talking about the news of the day, courtesy of Rob Cunningham, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
It's something so impeachable, but in the end it's right. I hope you do the time of your life in prison. Shout out to Future Hog on the Discord for that wonderful Green Day inspired AKA. Just a quick fact, when I was graduating 8th grade, there was a big argument in my class of what the class song should be. And so many people wanted it to be Time of Your Life the time. And somehow, and I'm not going to say names, but you know who you are, Megan. You somehow did it. You lobbied all these other people and got it to be Eagle Eyed Cherry, Save Tonight. Somehow, you were working against the momentum of culture.
Wow.
It should have been fucking great, but
save
whatever. Eagle
tonight.
Eyed Cherry, yeah, I mean, it was so weird for a bunch of like horny 14-year-olds to sing that in a church when they're graduating 8th grade.
Wow. Well, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined once again by one of the very faces on Mount Zeitmore. He is the hilarious, the talented Iffy Wattyway.
Woo, it's been a long time. I should have left you without a dope pod to step to. Step two. Freaky. What would you do to get Iffy? What would you say to have Iffy? Would you give up or try again if I hesitate to pod again? Now, would you be yourself or play a role? Tell all the boys or keep it low? If I say no, would you turn away or play me off or would you stay? What's good, y'all? Woo. What's good?
Bringing the heat as always, little Aaliyah. It's good to see you again, man. Where have you been? What have you been up to?
Oh, man, I've been knee deep in lots of just gaming and nonsense. So all last year, the reason it was so hard to get a hold of me was I was hosting a show for TBS called Super Punch, and it was like basically a video game clip show, and that just dominated my life. And I was getting the ins and outs of esports. I was already a big fan of esports, but you're meeting like all these esports stars, and then meeting like athletes because that's who Turner has access to. And it was just a real fun romp. But now I'm back. I'm still streaming. Some of the Zeit gangs in the stream still making coffee, and boy, do I have coffee updates for y'all. Because I think I've kind of leveled up to one of the generals of the coffee Zeit gang. I'm one of the generals, maybe even a captain. Wow. Shout out to Timeless Coffee, who has been holding me down. Shout out to Mad Lab Coffee in LA, who is partnered with your boy. Shout out to Deadstock up in Portland, because them the homies too.
Whenever
they hit me up, I'm like, hey man, let me get that bag. I fight with Her Majesty over those bags of Timeless Coffee, because I'm like, they're for me.
Oh yeah,
they don't listen to your podcast. And she's like, you don't even know how to make the coffee. I'm like, but I'm learning. But right now I'm drinking a bunch of chicory coffee. Like, ooh, I got a can of that Cafe de Monde
after my own heart.
I just hit that real, heaping tablespoon real quick, ice it, and it's a wonder. I'm like a blue bottle again.
Yeah,
chicory is, at Stumptown, they have that like New Orleans rocket fuel or whatever. Like iced coffee with a bunch of chicory. It's real.
Oh, I probably should just cold brew this shit overnight.
My own remixes with the chicory, because I think that's the stage I'm at now. Getting all the single origin. The biggest update I have is I have a Barzada now. That's the grinder I have, a Barzada.
Wow.
All the coffee heads know what I'm talking about. The Virtuoso, too. I was like, let me get the most elite. And this is crazy because I have a Krups burr, and you kind of like turn it to like the cups that you kind of want and the grind setting. And with this one, you pick the time, like how long you want it to grind. And so I had to do that math, and 15 seconds is about enough for 30 grams. And that's what I typically brew at, 30 grams. I do a 115 or 116 ratio.
Do you have a digital scale right next to it?
No, I got the DigiScale. I got the DigiScale with the timer, with the Chemex, using the Chemex filters. I bounced between the Chemex and the V60s, but I just got the Chemex filters for the first time, because the first time they weren't in stock, and now I'm not turning back. I got the Chemex filters doing it. Do I do center pour? Sometimes I'll do the waves, and now I got a zigzag pour that I learned from the homie. So, I'm out here.
Yeah. You've gone big in the coffee game. What so you've the world of esports is kind of one that's exploding, but that Miles and I don't spend a ton of show time on. Super producer DJ Daniel is a esports commentator as well. But like, what in getting to know the sport, and you said that you also like got to work with athletes who weren't esports athletes.
Yeah.
Like, what was the main difference you noticed between like an esport athlete and
definitely the houses. <just kidding>. like an esports athlete will be making like hundreds of thousands of dollars and still be in like a cramped apartment, like they don't care. Whereas like you get an NFL player and you're like, damn. And even though like there still is a huge pay disparity, you would think that, an esports person was like, let me get a little more room. It's like, no. Like the first time I saw someone with a nice house, it was the guy who created FaZe, and that man probably has so much more money, he created one of the now biggest, esports, orgs out. But I will say, the flip is like the gear was more swagged out for the esports, because now, and I was talking about that too, whereas like early esports, like the money was there, but there was no interest in like you were just still a like guy who played computer. And then with like your 100 Thieves and FaZe guys coming in, now you have these esports wearing like Off-White. And like I remember the difference between 1 year of TwitchCon. 1 year I went to TwitchCon, the most dripped out dude there, very obviously like you'd know who Iffy was in the crowd. And then next year, sneakers galore. It was like, nice. I was like, oh, okay. I'm talking about Off-White Prestos, talking about like all the hot drops that year they copped. And I was like, okay, this is who I'm losing to? All right.
All right. If you were going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment, first, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about. We're going to talk about just where we're at with the impeachment and the reckoning with the raid on the Capitol. We're going to talk about what's going on with some of the Trump supporters and just GOP now that they, I don't know, that they can just come out in the open and say how they feel. We'll talk about Kyle Rittenhouse. He's
living his just best doing life the most.
Yeah, the living his it. Best life. We'll talk about COVID as a case study for climate change. All of that, plenty more. But first, Ify, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Ooh, I feel like search history is... I'm trying to think of which thing from my search history, because I think it definitely is the I've been searching a lot of horny reactions, because I don't know if y'all know this, but there's a new Resident Evil coming out and it's called Resident Evil Village. And one of these main bads they keep showing is this large vampire woman with big breasts looking thicker than a Snicker in a Sunday church hat. She looks delicious. She looks amazing. And so almost every day I've posted something thirsty about that fictional woman. Like almost every day I've had something to talk about. Mm-hmm. And she looks good. And then we're getting to the stage of gaming where people are cosplaying this woman. I was like, oh no, I'm in danger. I'm in danger.
Yeah.
I'm going to be recklessly sliding into DMs.
What's the character called?
I mean, I've been calling her Tall Vampire Lady, but she does have a name. They released it.
Oh, here it. Oh, I would
Lady.
Say less. Google said Tall Vampire Lady.
Yeah. Oh. She's going by, you know, Tall Vampire Lady to the masses, but her in-game name is Lady Dimitrescu.
Wow.
Oh.
When I do Tall, the one of the first. Tall space vampire lady is like one of the first autocomplete.
Oh yeah, people are
that
ready.
Might just be because Google knows that that's the sort of shit that I Google. But
yeah, yeah, they're like, we know what you like. No need to search.
Tall plus anything.
Yeah.
What is something you think is underrated? If you
underrated, oh, I got so many underrateds, but I think what I'm gonna give it to right now is gonna be Apple Fitness Plus. I don't think people realize how much the app rocks, because it's pretty much been the answer to basically their answer to Peloton. It's been crazy.
Can you explain it to me? It's not the rings on the watch.
Yeah, because I saw that on my Apple TV and I was like, get the fuck off my screen, ring watch. Like,
so Apple Fitness Plus is, I can't wait to talk to you about this, because I it was something that came up that I was like, whatever, this is so silly. But it's pretty much Apple's answer to Peloton, where it connects to your Apple TV, like Miles says. And what it does is it's all these guided workouts, but it also connects to your Apple Watch. So it's giving you like your current heart rate and like telling you like you get to close those rings. And it's like matched up to Apple Music playlist. So for me, it's always like, all right, I'm gonna get the hip hop joints. Like, and so the playlists are pretty cool. And so I have, like, you can see this bike behind me, you know, listeners, there's a air bike behind me. And so I was like, I was riding it for a bit and I was like, this is cool. Like, I always thought like, oh, I could ride and watch TV, but it just gets kind of boring. So I was like, let me try this Apple Fitness Plus and see what it's at. And it was like, I was like, okay, I get what the soul cycle is all about. Like when you got someone like gassing you up while you're going and like kind of like egging you on. And then also like seeing your stats, because what it does is it connects to everyone who's doing it. And based on your heart rate, lets you know if you're like where you stand. And so my competitive nature comes out, because it's like, you're ahead of the pack. I'm like, yeah, I am. So that was fun. And I was hyped about that. I was talking about it, because that was the only one I did, was the biking. But then I was like, all right, Let me try some of the like core stuff. And so they have like the core and the yoga stuff. And so after doing it yesterday where I bounced around from the bike to the core to the yoga, I was like, yo, this is, and I'm drenched in sweat, by the way. I was like, okay, this is how I know a lot of people, especially all my, the meathead fam who, you know, see me do the fitness stuff. They've been asking like, oh man, what's a way, you know, I'm stuck at the house. Can right. I get it in? If you have an Apple Watch and an Apple TV, or just an Apple Watch because it could connect to your phone, but the Apple TV, it definitely is going to be, you know, more convenient. But you can also, you know, put your phone, you know,
if cast you, it you, to you the know, TV. You know, we got AirPlay. We know how to do
but
all
it,
that. Yeah.
But I will say it is like a solid workout. And like the, because, you know, I'm one of those weird people who like to gauge my workouts with how sweaty I am after. And yeah. I was like, okay, this is one of the good ones. So I was real surprised at how good it is. And I got to tell you, man, when you get that personal trainer being like, you can't do this. You do, and they're looking like straight down the barrel into your eyes. You're like, shit. Okay. Yeah. So that's been my new jam.
So the thing you're describing, if he sounds like it would be super effective and something that I would love to have organizing my life. It also sounds like a Black Mirror episode. I don't know exactly how it turned. Like, for instance, I found myself changing my behavior definitely for the better, usually, when it's like, okay, I need to close my rings and I can go on a walk with my kids instead of, you know, doing like pushing them on the swings or something like that. So it's usually like pretty benign like that, but I don't know, it does seem like that is, it's gamifying daily life and putting a you know, a heads up display over daily life in a way that feels definitely like the future, but also like it could be weird. It could be manipulated in unhealthy ways, I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, it definitely will. We just don't know how yet. But it definitely like there's gonna be a way it can be bent to fuel something that is evil.
Oh, it's a slow progress, like with Apple, because at first it's like, wait, they're making what now? Oh, they're making what now? They're making content now. They're making food now. Like, that's really the next. That's like the next level when you start seeing it. Is like, will they start nourishing us literally? Because they're almost providing all this other stuff.
I'm so sure about it. And Miles, you probably know this the same way, because I feel like we were on the same sites growing up. But I think my confidence in giving myself to these tech overlords is the fact that every drop of tech person has, there is someone out there hacking it. So if it gets to the point where it's like, oh, I don't want these motherfuckers to have anything, I will go to like some dark corner of the internet and they will unplug me and I will still have the power. I'm ready to go Ghost in the Shell, and I'm ready to go to whatever shady corner of the internet's gonna be like, you ready to unplug, chief?
Yeah. Like, I'm all in, daddy.
Off grid.
Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah. All right. And what is something you think is overrated?
Overrated is a spicy take, because I think it's something that's done with good intention. But I think that overall it is unhealthy, usually to the person doing it and just in general, which is I think, you know, people are miserable right now. We're stuck inside, and in the back of our heads, we all are thinking the same thing. If everyone gets their shit together and wear our mask and stay inside, we'll finally get out of this. But there's been this like connection of that idea with like being able to like try and like divorce yourself from that idea. The idea that it's like, I personally want to be out of this. That's the drive. And to make it seem like, oh no, I'm a hero by staying inside. And so I'm going to shame as much. I'm going to spend all day talking about it. I'm going to spend all day saying how people are inside and they're so dumb and they're so silly, but also I'm still going to order from Postmates. Also, I'm still going to have Instacart. Also, I'm still going to actively fuel the system that forces people to put their lives at risk to get my dumb shit, while yelling at people for being outside and not understanding that the human psychology of someone who maybe is driving those Ubers, doing those Instacarts, stocking, going into those places, doing these high-risk jobs, has now made them personally go through a risk assessment of being like, well, if I'm already every day 9 to 5 just to survive, putting myself at risk at COVID, I think I do deserve a night out somewhere. They usually find somewhere, even though nothing's open, to do it. And I don't think it's healthy for you to hyper-focus on, like, the reason that you're stuck inside and maybe, I don't know, pick up a new hobby and stop yelling at people. Because the way that social media is designed anyway, the people you yelling at ain't even gonna see it. Because you've already surrounded everyone around you in your social circle to be people who think like you and do shit like you. So stop yelling it and stop clogging up my thirst traps. So with 50 story lengths of you yelling at the camera, mad because people won't stay inside. I'm mad too, but guess what? How I'm doing it? I'm signing up to a whole bunch of OnlyFans. Maybe you should do it too. I don't know. I hate using this argument because I think it's so cheesy, but I think, you know, you and Miles will definitely feel this way, which is the simple fact of, like, seeing people so up in arms about, you know, COVID because it affects them and they have to stay inside and what people need to be doing to get shit right. Da, da, da. But for the past 5-10 years, ain't had nothing to say about anything else. But this is the one, this is the chance for you to be the hero when it's something that affects you. But you know what? And like, that's why it's like, I can't do that. Because I've already been yelling every day about people getting shot in the street, yelling every day about bad legislations towards, you know, LGBTQ people, people of color, Native Americans. Like I've if you go through my tweets, you'll see that that's all I've been yelling about. So I don't have the energy to yell at Jake from the, you know, State Farm. Yeah, yeah. I meant to say Stater Brothers.
Y'all did it.
Jake from State Farms, like a good neighbor, hopping into all these COVID hotspots to help people with their car insurance. No, I can't be mad at the person because I just feel like in a weird way, and I'm sure some weirdo has made a take about this on Twitter, that there's some level of classism to that where it's like not everybody has the ability to stay at home and wear a mask. And if you don't have that ability and you're already forced to do it for work, then yeah, you might fuck up and do it. And you can say that person is selfish, but you're selfish because you're enabling that system.
Right. Or at least using your voice to basically say, like, the whole setup's fucked up. It should be paid to stay your ass at home.
Exactly.
You know, easy ass. Because, yeah, like, it's like anything. Somebody who's every day your life's a risk, them doing something additionally risky to people who are like, oh, but what's going on out there? It's like, well, their reality is completely different than yours. Every day they are facing possible infection. And that has become normalized, unfortunately. So other things will seem very normal to them or things that they aren't willing to give up. Yeah, and I mean, it's like anything. It's like, there's so many issues that people talk about, even if, you know, one example is like dog fighting or cock fighting. When people go, how could people do that? I don't understand. You know, a lot of the times the way people are treating animals is a reflection of how they feel society is valuing their own life, how they are even being treated. So by extension, fighting animals is no different than what they feel they have to do every day. And it's like, we're all seeing these like relative dimensions. Not that I'm saying it's good or bad or whatever, but everyone's reality is tinged much differently through the lens of their life experience. And yeah, like I get the level of nihilism for people who have to still go to work and be called essential, but not given the dignity of essential work, not being paid in a dignified way. That is going to compound your lack of giving a fuck over time. Yeah. So yeah, and some I'm like, yeah, I mean, that's what the
exactly
fuck it is.
Like, and I think it really does come from like the difference of like if you've been in the shit, if you've worked, like I've worked 2 grocery store jobs, and those jobs already are demeaning. If you got to restock milk, you smelling spoiled fucking milk, putting the milk up, the way people talk to those workers, and even right now, people are just disrespecting them. It's people spitting in their face. So yeah, they like the way I look at it, and the way I've made it made sense to me is I remember when I would be. I was broke, and this was around the time when I was like unlawfully arrested. So I was paying bills, I was paying legal fees, and I'd have like just a couple of bucks in my check, you know, just a couple of bucks. And I told myself, I was like, so I don't drive myself crazy. I have to spend this last piece of money, even though it's my last money. I have to do something for me, something fun for me, because everyone else is taken from me. I should at least have something for me. And I think back to that time and go, that's probably how these people are thinking, where it's like, I'm putting my life on the line to serve somebody else a cheeseburger, to serve somebody else groceries. So I should do something for me. And you can say that's selfish all you want, but you're not in that position. You're selfish because you don't want to even explore the empathy to be in that position. And the fact that you can look at that and not put yourself in that position means that you've never been in that position, which means you don't have a right to talk. In my opinion, you don't have a right to talk about that. It's the same way people are like, you don't get to enter the tipping discussion if you haven't worked the food service industry. If you ain't been in there, if you ain't had a shit paying job that you needed to survive and you were dealing with bullshit people, you don't get to have an opinion on like why this person might think, oh, I'm also going to try and hit this club. Like you just don't because you don't. You will never understand. And you ain't trying to understand.
And eating handfuls of disrespect with a smile on your face.
You imagine, know what I mean? Imagine working a year, being told that you're forced to take this shitty job, forced to be put at risk for this deadly virus. And then within a year, they're like, you don't deserve $15.
Right.
You don't deserve that.
Get the fuck out of here.
For flipping burgers?
What the fuck?
Meanwhile, people are lining up around the block for those burgers. But you're like, for flipping burgers, you want to be paid a living wage? I think people don't get that minimum wage, there is a silent to live. That is the minimum wage to live.
Yeah.
And people think, that's minimum wage is like the cheap. No, it is minimum wage to live because the idea is that if you have a job, you should survive. And somewhere along the way.
Nah. That's what you got it wrong. That's the minimum amount I'm willing to pay y'all.
Yeah, exactly. That's, you know,
I'm trying to pay the minimum. That's really where it is. And that's what like all of the arguments against raising minimum wage are essentially can be boiled down to someone saying, no. This has to be the lowest I can pay someone and get away with it.
Yeah. Right.
That has to be it. If anything else is too level of a playing field and I can't exploit the labor in a manner that's highly profitable for me anymore.
Yeah.
It's tough.
It's super just sad to see. Because, like, you see people, and I would see this too when I, you know, worked, you know, regular 9 to 5, is people, there are some people that for some reason, the only way they look at it, they understand that there's a hierarchy and they just want to be above someone else. That's why you keep seeing this argument from people being like, making as much as me, bro, if you telling me that I can flip burgers and make more than this high skilled job, guess what I'm going to do, bro? And that's what you should do. That's why you're not getting paid as much, because you can't figure that out. You know,
you're
like
people burn you out, exploiting your labor. You're like, but I got to do all this other shit to make this little money. It's like, well, then advocate for yourself or your industry or something, but don't just start getting mad at other people. But
don't look down. Look up.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, the one group though that could really fucking do one and eat a pile of shit are the people who have that mentality of going out, who are like, not because I'm filled with existential dread. It's the I'm too rich to get sick.
Oh,
because those motherfuckers
they can eat a whole dip.
They're everywhere. They're fucking every. That's what LA is a bunch. So many people who think literally. I'm looking at them. I'm like,
oh yeah.
I'm pretty sure you think because you at least have these class markers of having some kind of wealth that's the reason you're mask off, like running through this place or insisting on trying to eat out in these like other parts of the county where you can get away with it. Like, come the fuck on.
Yeah. Let's go to a break, because when we come back, we're going to talk about the rise of authoritarianism. But I agree that a lot of what we're going through as a country, whether it's, you know, punching down in social media or, you know, well, the rise of authoritarianism goes back to inequality and our inability to reckon with that. But let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island
And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. You know, as we're talking about inequality and people sublimating the anger and frustration they feel due to inequality into, you know, shit posting against other people, other individuals who are just, you know, trying to live their lives. I do want to talk about authoritarianism as we're heading into Trump impeachment too, because
impeach harder.
Yeah. I feel like the stakes seem low because the media is trying to figure out how they move forward in a post-Trump world. And we already had a Trump impeachment. We're all getting used to a new normal where he doesn't have a direct wire into our brains. And then, you know, trying to focus on all the work that's left to do. But I also think we're just bad at accounting for the future as a species, and Trump, the consequences of letting Trump and letting the right, you know, get away with like their attempt to overthrow the government and install an authoritarian government. The consequences of that are probably 4 years off in the future. And so we're like, yeah, let's, you know, it doesn't seem like it's getting the same oxygen that it has in the past. And, you know, if Trump is let off by the Republicans and just generally given a let's move forward, unified free pass from the establishment, I think we're going to see a lot more similar violent attempts on government going forward and just in general behind the bastards, Robert Evans and prop are doing a mini series on basically historical corollaries for what happened at the Capitol, like past both successful and unsuccessful fascist takeovers of governments. And they just did the Munich Beer Hall Putsch. And the lessons from that era are super, super clear. The justice system was far more lenient towards right-wing violence than left-wing violence, which there's been a bunch of studies finding that, like, during Black Lives Matter protests all the way, like any protests through the past couple of years, it's been, I think, the police have been four times as likely to use violence against left-wing protests, even just holding, like, let's say that no property damage happened at the thing. They're four times as likely to use violence. They let Hitler off the hook because they had a conservative judiciary, which also there's some similarities there. Nobody took him serious because when he first tried to overthrow the government, he did it with a bunch of drunk assholes, and it just didn't look very well coordinated. But I think the main thing that we're missing is that authoritarianism is inherently seductive to a populace that is suffering. And we have a populace that is suffering from neglect and inequality. And, you know, that is where this is coming from. I think a lot of the national discourse around this is like, but this isn't America. America is an authoritarianism state. It's a, you know, it's a place where we protect people's rights. And I think that's vastly underestimating the how attractive authoritarianism is. I mean, 70 million people just voted for an authoritarian after witnessing, you know, his shortcomings as a leader. And then people are unhappy and being truthfully screwed over by the system. Someone who comes in and says, I alone can fix it, is going to be way more popular than someone who comes in and says, we must work within the system that is fucking you over. So I think we're at a very dangerous place, and there are these like kind of victories that we're letting kind of make us feel good, and it's okay to feel better about the situation, but we're also in a very dangerous place where, you know, 70 million people just voted for authoritarianism. 40% of the American populace is in favor of authoritarian solutions to our current problems, and neither side is pointing to the real problem, which is inequality.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just everything is ill-equipped to deal with the problem. You know, right. The people who are in office, they're too entrenched in the class of people who have to give up their elite status or give up their money to make things work. So they are completely incapable of it. It's like being like, yo, rip your body up in pieces. Like my own body? Well, let's figure out how to legislate the ripping up of my body, though. I'm like, no. Y'all literally have to start coming up off your cash. That's literally what has to happen. It's that easy. It's actually that easy. You have to start coming up off. You need to run your fucking money. That's all it is. But they can't do that. Same with the media. The media is in the same group of people. And also, they're so white that they cannot actually have a sober analysis of white supremacy in the country. So they treat it like, oh, wow, that got ugly in Charlottesville. Oh, yeah. Wow, these proud, they're getting a little rowdy, aren't they? Someone needs to do something. It's because they don't understand the threat of white supremacy as clearly as other people do. So it's like, it's treated like this casual thing, because if for certain people, it's like, you know, we were saying this in the summer too, white people have to check each other. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what has to happen. That's how it works, because a brown person telling a white person, hey, that's racist, isn't just shut off time. Nope, not hearing it. You're angry. But when a white person comes to another white person and tries to be like, this is what it is, okay? Yeah. Or you need to fucking run your shit. That has a much deeper effect. And because just how much trouble white people have had talking about the uncomfortable parts about how they might benefit from white supremacy or what white grievance politics are. When you have a media class that's this in the same place, they're never going to actually deal with it the right way. So it gets all this momentum suddenly. And then they're like, whoa, they showed up at the Capitol. It's like, well, what the fuck were you? It's because y'all don't take it seriously because you don't see it the same way.
It brings me back to when there was that argument going online of like,
giving space to like the black people speaking out and giving space. And I was like, no, we're going to pump the brakes on this, because there are people who, as soon as they see a black person speaking on this, it's white noise. It's like, we can't do this. Like, we, and that's a whole sidebar about like people wanting the clout and commodification of wokeness that was fueling that. I think what it really does come through is we can't wait around for the MLKs and Martin Luther Kings, because the MLKs and that's the same person, the Malcolm X's and the Martin Luther Kings, because the only reason Martin Luther King worked was because there was Malcolm X, because they wanted to choose the more docile civil rights leader to do it. That's something that I think is missed on a lot of people. I think people thought that these are just two civil rights leaders that existed in the vacuum, but it was a coincidental problem that happened, which is you had a militant Malcolm X who was like, all right, we're going to get this freedom. Like, we're not asking, we're going to take it. And then you have I Have a Dream, and white America was forced to make a choice. Because they're like, either we get these, we either get militant black people or black people who want justice through peace. And in the end, both of them are still dead. So I think that's what we're with now. It's going to be a joint effort, because we are past the point of them listening to anybody but their own. And I think that it's very dangerous that what happened at the Capitol, because I firmly believe that if Black Lives Matter stormed the Capitol, it would have been a very bloody day. It would have been shots fired. And, you know, normally I'd be like, you know, normally, because there are a few people who are saying, like, I don't think that, like, there was a thing going around where it was like, no, we're just saying that we want, you know, black people to have this same leniency. But I think in that case, it was different, because without busting caps and all of them, you sent a message that was very clear that if you're white, you have the right to storm the Capitol. And they had a choice. They had a choice. That's what happens, because that is an act of war on America's freedoms. If it was the other way around, that's how it would have been built. But it wasn't. What it was built at was a protest, where armed people rushed a governmental building and were let in by the Capitol Police. Not enough people are talking about that they were let in. They didn't even storm it. And by not putting these people under the jail, which I don't think is going to happen. I think we're going through the song and dance of taking them to court, sitting them there. I mean, just the other day, there was an article talking about the police were saying that we should be worried about them trying to charge all these people because they might flood the courtrooms, while just a few months ago, we had overcrowding in prisons, and they're still trying to put black and brown people in there. So now we're worried about flooding courtrooms when it's white. Like, it's so clear.
Think of the courtrooms.
Yeah, I know. It's so clear now that it's like, at this point, I have to believe that you're just trying not to see it. Like, you're trying not to see it, because you can literally take every case and put it up against a black and brown case and see the different way it's handled. And it's not going to stop unless something is done about it. People will storm more government buildings if there aren't consequences for it. And that's just the facts of the matter. And they know that. Yeah. Because they want black people to stop protesting. So what do? They call out the National Guard. They bring out the tear gas. They bring out riot gear. It can't be more clear than this. And honestly, I won't even pretend as if this white supremacy took our country if it happens, because it was given to them. There was no pushback whatsoever. It's just been letting it happen. And it just makes me so angry that I can't think about it, because you have to sit here and realize you live in a country where the government would rather appease white supremacists than make over half of their country feel safe.
Right. One of the details from the Munich thing just that jumped out to Prop and everybody who listened to the episode is that when Hitler, so the Munich beer hall pushed was like Hitler's first attempt to take over. It was unsuccessful. But when he tried to do it, the police were, it was like there weren't a lot of police there, even though there was plenty of evidence that this was coming. It reminded me so much of it. And the reason like theirs was even more understandable, because they were doing it at a fucking bar in Munich, which isn't even the seat of government. They weren't doing it at fucking Congress.
Yeah. And it's never going to be the cops that are going to suddenly, it's not like a movie where they suddenly the police officers take their badges off and they're like, we're sorry, Mr. President, we answer to someone else. It's that their function right. within a coup like that is to just step aside.
That's right.
That's all it is. That's how it works. It's like, okay, we'll no longer enforce the law. Just don't, you know, and then you can actually be the perpetrators of this. Let it happen. And then we'll go back to business.
Take selfies.
But it's true. We really are at a crossroads. That's why, like, these midterms are going to be so telling. And what these first few months in office look like what is done to deal to address the inequality. Because, man, like, when you're hungry and somebody tells you they can get you something to eat, you're going to be like, okay, cool. Where? Right. Where?
That's my one worry, too, is coming off this, is because we're going to start to see a little bit of I believe we're going to see some political fatigue here where people feel like they got this win with Biden. And I think we're going to have a lot of people check out of politics, especially with in hand the way the media is kind of covering everything. Like, they're, you know, when it was Trump, it was very sensationalized. It was quote unquote fun to show all of the things wrong that's going on. And I believe we're gonna see the media try and, like, portray it as if everything's back to normal because Biden's in charge, and we're gonna stop talking about the insurrection that was attempted. We're going to stop covering all these cases. And suddenly all of these people who are not being charged, or the charges are being dropped, or we're not going to see any of those news stories come out. Those are just going to fly under the radar, much like right. when they tried to let the person who stole a politician's laptop and tried to sell it in Russia, literally treason. And we're just like, oh. And that's I think that's what makes me mad, too, is like these, like, America number one, USA freedom fanboys see someone do that. And they're just like, huh? I was like, right. Oh, so you don't believe in anything. You just believe in white supremacy. And to you, when Trump right. was in office, America was white supremacy. And that's why America was number one. And now that Trump's not in office, America's no longer number one. And it's whatever your little cult wants to claim is the real America. And honestly, I gotta say, that's the one thing they do get right. White supremacy is the real America. That's what it was built off of. And and that's what Donald Trump was trying to bring back. I think, you know, this whole, this isn't the America I know, bullshit. Yeah. This is the America. That's the one thing they are 100% right about, is they're trying to bring back the white supremacist ideals that this country was built off of. How we got redlining, how we got segregation, how we got slavery. All of that is white supremacy. So don't worry about saving America or going back to normalcy. You need to be looking forward. You need to stop being so afraid of the left and stop letting these capitalistic ideas that people are selling you keep you afraid of thinking of a better America, because you'll never right. get back anything, because everything that you thought you had was a lie.
All right, let's take a quick break. Yep, that's all right. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Elia Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And speaking of white supremacy, I wanted to talk about Q and Kyle Rittenhouse real quick. There's a couple stories involving, well, let's start with Q. So the Texas State Republican Party is, Miles, you said going through a bit of a rebrand?
Yes. I mean, I said mask off with a Q instead of a K.
Yeah, that was really clever.
This
I like
shit
that.
Is, yo, the they just put out a fucking social graphic that says TexasGOP.org, we are the storm. The storm being referenced to the big fucking climax of the conspiracy Q promised but never came. So now they are pivoting off of that to turn into themselves being like, we're the Q party? The head of the Texas GOP basically says, oh, he's like, oh, you guys got it all wrong. This talk about QAnon dog whistles is BS. This is just a quote from my favorite QAnon t-shirt. Apparently, this is from a quote that the head of the party says is very generic. And the quote is, the devil whispers to the warrior slyly, can it withstand the coming storm? The warrior responds, I am the storm. Okay, I think that's more Breaking Bad. I am the danger.
Yeah, but it's that's also fine. Very clearly, like, you know, saying the same thing that, like, it's
yeah, no,
leaving the
all this
reality
say,
in place. Yeah,
just like if you're saying, just like we've all been saying, none of the things Republicans say is real. It's all bullshit. They know what the fuck they're doing when they go, I don't know. That's a Q. No, that's nothing to do with QAnon. You know what the fuck you're doing. You have a bunch of disappointed QAnon people who are confused, not knowing what to do with all this energy. Other alt-right people are trying to siphon them off to bring them into the ranks of their movements. This is you just saying, okay, well, hold on. I know what this is. Let me just give these lost, confused people an organizational life raft to cling to in this sort of uncertain time. So if I come out with the Q-friendly messaging, they know, Bobby Digital, you can fucking go over there and they're serving up the same shit. Or at least, we're not going to say this shit, but we know what the fuck we're talking about because I said it. And that's all it is.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is totally on track for what I was saying, which is, you know, as we saw when Biden lost a lot, we did see quite a few of people in the Republican Party try and distance themselves from Trumpers and Trumpism. And you saw Ted leaning in. And I know Ted's trying to see if he can scoop up them followers for his inevitable second presidential run. What Ted doesn't know is they will never respect him. Bro, this is a whole, even though there's nothing macho about these Trump guys, that is their whole conscript, right? Is that they're all about machismo. It's like, you let this dude just destroy your wife and you did not defend her. They will never. And it's so funny to see, like, even someone who's from the outside, I'm looking and I was like, those Trump people will never respect you. They're not going to have your back. Like, literally all you're doing is mobilizing them for somebody more Trumpian and macho,
right,
to come scoop them up from you. That's all you're doing. And then you're going to be licking another dude's boots.
No, it's like he's 2002 Ja Rule to 50 Cent.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, he's about to come through and take all your fans right now.
Yeah. That's all you're doing. And if you understood that, you would do the same bullshit that Turtlehead Mitch McConnell punk ass is doing, which is trying to walk this shit back and try and get the Republican Party back into sanity, because you realize that without Trump, without that figurehead, y'all are just going to lose back to back. Because that was the only reason y'all got as close as you did. It's because you had Trump. So now, without Trump, without your moderate Republicans, you're only going to take L's, which is why you see all of them trying to denounce Q. And then you have these knuckleheads over here trying to double down. It's like, that's the only thing, is like, my fear is when the Trumpian Q people figure out a way to mobilize without the Republican Party. Because right now the Republican Party is about to have a huge schism split trying to figure out what the fuck they're going to do. Because they don't have a plan, and they really didn't have a plan. But at least Trump was like, "Nah, we going here." You know that when you out with friends, and he always going to take you on a burnt mission, but he know where you want to go, right? So y'all just follow him anyway.
Think of anything. Fuck it, yeah, I don't have to plan nothing.
Yeah, exactly. He didn't know what he was going to do, but he knew he was going to push forward, and that was the only thing holding the Republican Party together. So now without him, they're just scrambling.
Yeah, and like I am a little bit concerned that the Republican Party will actually start down the path of authoritarianism and adopting the Q shit
desperation,
instinct for survival, and you know they've always been willing to compromise their beliefs. Like why would it stop now? So McConnell thing, we're fucked.
The populism conservative intersection is truly, that's where they're going to go. They can't be like, hey man, what if we like actually like try to appeal to people's like humanity and try to win votes based on that? They're not doing that. Shit is too far gone. That's like asking Skrillex to make like Baroque chamber music. It's like, I'm on the other end of that. There's no way I'm turning back now. And that's really what's going to be, because the scary thing is too, you look at all the people who are scratching their head of Latino votes, Latinx support that came out of Texas and stuff for Trump, who are like, what the fuck happened? It's because it's not always about when it's deracialized and it's more put in this like family values shit, it has a lot more appeal. And they're going to get smart, because this is what happened with the civil rights movement. When they took L's out of there, they said, oh, hold up, we need to deracialize our white supremacy talk. Because if it's too out there, then people know what we're talking about. But the people who know, they fucking know. It's like hip hop. If somebody said, a Puerto Rico, and the car response is, oh, like people just, you know, if you know, you know. So you don't have to say too much. And this is where, like, you know, women in the civil rights movement, white women were very integral in changing things to be about like school choice or neighborhood safety and these other things that now had broader appeal. But at the end of the day, they knew what the fuck they were talking about. And that's the evolution that is clearly happening, because this power vacuum is ridiculous. Even in Hawaii, the Hawaii GOP, I'm just going to point to one other thing. They tweeted, we should make it abundantly clear, the people who subscribe to the Q fiction were largely motivated by a sincere and deep love for America. Patriotism and love of country should never be ridiculed. Please.
The comms director resigned the next day. It was like, that was a bit of a mistake.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just, you can see what they're doing. Like, it's desperate. And desperate people with no morals, there's nothing more dangerous, honestly. Oh,
yeah. And I mean, it's what they believe, too. It's what they've always wanted to, you know, be able to say out loud. So, I just think that is the main, one of the big things that the mainstream media is missing right now is how seductive to these people authoritarianism is going to be and how seductive to the Republican Party it's going to be, because they don't really have another option. Finally, Kyle Rittenhouse finally got like very lightly checked by a judge after just being out here. You know, he's been free since November off the strength of Mike Lindell's connection to Lord Jehovah, the one mm-hmm. on high. He's been out drinking, taking pics with Proud Boys, throwing up the OK, aka white power symbol. His mom's even been selling merch that says Free Kyle, which there's actually, I didn't know about this, but Miles, you were saying that this violates the Son of Sam laws.
Yeah, they have them on the books in Wisconsin, basically saying, like, you can't profit off your crimes. Like, you can't turn your crime into some kind of profit thing. And then they're like, but it's for his legal bills. It's not a profit. Okay, right. So the money is going to
You mean
to
the legal bills that were taken care of by a GoFundMe? Those legal bills?
Well, but I need more, though, you see. So buy your Free Kyle logo padded sports bra in white for $39.99. It's a ton of nonsense. Also, I didn't realize, you know, he's 19 and there are those photos of him drinking with Proud Boys in a bar. I didn't know that in Wisconsin, if you're between 18 and 20, you can drink in a bar if you're with your parent.
Cool.
Have you heard of this law anywhere else?
I only heard of it when I saw those pictures too. And I was like, oh, that's like a dumb law. It's like, look.
Yeah, but it's a lot of, I guess it's up to the discretion of like the business owner, but still I was like, that's a fucking weird law, huh? So essentially this is when prosecutors came to the judge with all this shit on some like, what the fuck is your man's thinking? Your Honor, can we figure this out? Because not only is he flaunting his freedom in this really destructive way, but by publicly connecting yourself to Proud Boys, the prosecutors are like, this could easily translate into voter intimidation. You know what I mean? Like to say like, oh, I'm gooned up. Yeah. Like, what do you think? Oh, you better fucking think twice. So the judge is like, okay, noted. And then came out today, said, quote, the defendant shall neither possess nor consume alcoholic beverages. The defendant shall not knowingly have contact with any person or group of persons known to harm, threaten, harass, or menace others on the basis of their race, beliefs on the subject of religion, color, national origin, or gender. No weapons, especially firearms, and no contact, including like just certain people that were either victims or people he was in the case with. So, yeah. Oh, cool. A bit of modification to his bond agreement.
I can't think of Kyle Rittenhouse too long because it just makes me scratch my head. Like, I still to this day am blown away at just in our lifetime how many people have taken human life and have been good, and then how many people have been doing a petty crime for something that doesn't affect anyone and are in prison for life. Like, it really just makes you realize how fucked this just... Like, here's the thing. Let's just say I didn't even want to think about like the racial aspects of it. Facts that are known is that he killed another human being. That alone, usually people are like, put them under the jail. And now you're out for free, you know, like, and it's crazy because it's like, it is true. Like, it's not even like someone can retaliate and be like, oh man, well, but you know, I feel at risk. I'm gonna go pop his ass, because then the judge could just be like, nah, we're going to put you in prison though. You know, like that, like at a certain point we have to realize like, oh, the justice system is fucked. And at a certain point it's like, who is above? Like, it feels like something like, you remember when like a teacher, you always had that one teacher who knew they had tenure, so they were doing wild shit. And you like, damn, this seemed like a bad system. I feel like that same thing goes for judges. Like, there has to be a system where someone looks into some of these judges' calls and be like, well, for a black person, you put them under the jail. And for a white person, you didn't. I think you shouldn't be a judge anymore. That's bad judgment. you know,
when this 18-year-old white young man came in with attempted murder and murder charges, you quote said, "Bring in the kegs and let's get fucking twisted."
Yeah.
Your Honor, I don't. That seems like a very lack of consideration. Yeah, it feels like that sometimes, where you know you can look at someone like Tamir Rice is 12 years old and gets killed by the police, right? And then you have a little white supremacist that could marching up and down the streets killing people, and we have to sit here and stomach watching this bizarre treatment and be like, you know, for certain people, especially people of color and other people who have their eyes open enough in this country, go, this is so fucked up to see.
Yeah.
Like, this is just so fucked up. And then but it works on other levels. It just makes me more nihilistic or,
yeah.
I mean, not fully black-pilled, but, you know, in a way you're like, why do we need these fucked up reminders constantly in our faces, you know, being like, this is what they get away with. This is what you cannot do.
It really is like it makes what makes me just scratch my head is it makes the argument for a lot of these progressive causes so much easier, but people still can't sink it in the head. People were like, why would you defund the police? Why would you defund the police? And not a couple months later in Florida, we had a judge rule that police have no like right, like cause to protect and serve if they're not in custody. Like, it was because the parents were obviously trying to sue the cops at Parkland who ran away from the shooter. And you look and you're like, so what are you there for? If you're saying that if you're scared, you can run away. If you're scared, you can kill people. It seems like if you're scared, you can do whatever you want. I'm just waiting on the case where they, you know, fuck a, you know, sex worker. And they're like, well, I was scared for my life. And I was like, well, because it seems like the get out of jail free card literally for cops is if they're scared. And I was like, if you are scared, then you should get your badge taken away. I think that's not a hard thing. If you cannot in the line of duty, we are shipping 18-year-old boys off to countries where people want to kill them and they still have to follow rules of escalation in a place where people want to kill them, and we are letting people off who are with civilians kill. That just doesn't add up. And you a grown ass man, lots of these cops in their 30s, and you got 18-year-old kids who can process like, okay, this may be a brown kid in the middle. I mean, look, they've been fucking up too, but I think, you know, they've been doing war crimes too, but at least there's an attempt at a system in place where it seems like with cops, everyone just wants our hands off. They have a separate Bill of Rights so that they cannot be punished.
Yeah.
But if a doctor trying to save my life fuck up, I could sue his pants off.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cops have they're given the power of God, like absolute power. They can kill you or not. And
I can see why Trey Songz choked out a cop. I can see why. I need Trey Songz money because I need to be able to choke out a cop and be good.
I mean, yeah, it's truly because you can do anything. And even if you do the most heinous shit, like assault somebody who's in custody or murder someone, there's a trillion and one excuses they can make. And somehow you're like, that guy's on the street again?
Yeah.
What the fuck? And it's for that reason, people should be like, at the very least, if you're uncomfortable with the message, like, because in your mind, defunding the police, you can't nuance that enough to say we need a redistribution of resources to go towards the people rather than the oppressors and things like that. Do this thought exercise. Is a cop someone who can be protected by most dimensions of this law to get away with whatever they please? That's really another, just start there, maybe. If you don't like that, then you use that as your way into looking at the larger picture of what this all means.
Well, Iffy, it's always so great having you on the show, man. Where can people find you and follow you?
Oh, you know you can find me at Iffy Wadiway on Twitter and Instagram. IffD's on Twitch. Come through. We playing video games.
What games are you playing?
Right now I've been playing a lot of Destiny 2. I'm going through the Yakuza series, which is super fun. And you know, Warzone and Apex Legends. That's what you'll see when you come to see me.
Nice. And is there a tweet or some of the work of social media you've been enjoying?
Oh man, yeah. There was a real good one. I was let me see it. I sent it and it cracked me up. I think I'll just give a shout out to my friend Chloe Naylor, who I retweeted yesterday, which was the the Godzilla versus Kong trailer came out, and it's a picture of Godzilla with the phone, and then on the phone it's from Godzilla and says, "Henlo ape, hello you stinky ape, go eat a banana, you ugly," and then it cuts to cuts to him being mad at Godzilla. It's very funny. It cracks me up, and that should be the cause for the movie.
That trailer, just like that's all anybody was talking about for a good 2 hours yesterday. Yeah. Or over the weekend.
It's exactly what we needed. Just let them fight, just, you know. Dumb.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Miles, where can people find you? What's a tweet you've been enjoying?
You can find me on Twitter, Instagram at Miles of Gray, also 420 Day Fiance. Shout out to everybody who stopped by the Twitch stream just for the shit talking. Some tweets that I like. Actually, just one tweet from Amy Miller, past guest, you know and love her, at Amy Miller. She tweets, "I guess my main beef with Sex and the City is how they all wear strappy sandals around New York City and then come home and put their feet in the bed."
Ugh.
Which, yeah, like,
so gross.
I wore sandals once in New York in the summer. Never again. Like, where I wasn't like going, like, had the luxury of going into a car, like walking the streets. Yeah. And then your feet are just like, you're like, what the fuck did I do?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Your feet look like a chimney sweep after you've been walking around for, it's completely.
Yeah. Even like, even with sandals, your shit, you have some like Lord of the Rings feet by the end.
Oh yeah.
Like
yeah,
somehow,
yeah,
yeah. Like, cause I never understood. I'm like, how is it going over the sole onto right. my foot? Like yeah, I'm wearing, yeah. There's something in between my foot yeah. impacting it. Obviously these little particles, but still, I just don't like it. I don't like it.
Yeah,
keep your back.
A couple tweets I've been enjoying. Peach at Peach on Twitter tweeted, "The greatest American lie is that people from every other country wish they lived here. They don't." That's just facts. Yep. Adam Sirius tweeted, "Please, William Nilliam is my father. Call me Willy Nilly." And then Riley at Good Post Riley tweeted, "A lot of people get scared when they watch movies. Not me. I know the lion at the start is just a logo." You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what are we riding into this fine week?
I mean, you know the power of the ride outs. I just want to put the focus of the ride out on none other than Iffy Wadi Way, the artist. Woo! FD's on Spotify. He's got a track called Luxury. So for people who don't know, you think these comedians don't know how to get on the mic and fuck it up? Put this in your fucking head right now. This is Luxury by Iffy. Iffy, what do you want to say about this track? You know, how did what were you feeling?
Oh man, I was feeling this beat for sure. This is by a cat named Connor Hedge, and it kind of came together like I said before we started recording. But like, if you haven't been paying attention, a lot of like black comedians have started rapping, and I was definitely, I've always wanted to rap, so I was definitely getting into it. And then my boy Ira connected me with this guy Connor Hedge, and he sent the beats, and it was one of those beats where you're like, oh, all right, I'm already writing. And then so I sent, like, I just did like my verse and I sent it to the homie, and he's like a songwriter, so I was just getting his like thoughts, and then he cut the second verse. And then after that, it was like, oh, this is it. This is it. It just kind of came together naturally. So, yeah.
Well, blessings to you and to those who listen. Because, yeah, it should go. Luxury, FDs. Let's go.
All right. We are going to ride out on that. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for this Tuesday morning. We are back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we'll talk to you all then. Bye.
Bye.
these niggas hate, man, I guess it's fate. Always buying me a watch, but I'm staying late. But when your girl see me floss, she precipitate. And when you buying clothes at Ross, man, she always flake. But do you, homie? Man, this empty house got me hella lonely. Always got some goddamn jewelry on me. And they ban me off of Twitter cause I'm tweeting horny. But the party don't stop, nah. Searching for a fair lady Dotson. Stuck at the house, but it's poppin'. Big ass bed tryna have some fun. Yo, we flexing, yo, we flexing. Man, my life feel like a blessing, a holy blessing. Gotta thank my mom, she said she prayed for me. And now a young nigga living life of luxury, full of luxury.
Living life of luxury, living is a luxury. Why I never worry about these lame boys that come to me. Photogenic, popping in a Benz, and they loving me. Yeah, and they loving me. Used to give a fuck about how they would see me. Now I'm Warholin' multicolor on the TV. It's the dream daddy all-stars, do you feel me? When I bark, I'm the boss, dog, you should hear me. Only time I take a loss when they cheesin' on me. Bounce right back, it ain't no beastin' on me. Took a quick nap, they was sleeping on me. Now I'm in they dreams 5D. And we flexing, yeah, we flexing. And my life is like a blessing, holy blessing. Gotta thank my mom, said she pray for me. Now a young nigga live a life of luxury. Life of luxury.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior. Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything, that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these moments. Their stories are full of candor and hard-won wisdom. And you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.